You are listening to the Impact Church podcast. To learn more about Impact Church, visit us online at impactharlem.org. You can also check us out on social media.
Last week, we opened up the new series and we looked at some pretty cool things. We looked at the foundation of what it means to walk in being a Christ follower and what that looks like. The things that we've been given because of God. Nothing that we could actually earn or do on our own. And we talked about the importance of walking in that and living in those truths so that we can continue to grow closer to Jesus. And this week, we're gonna just move forward to chapter 2, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 10. But I have a question for you. How many of you are gun people, shoot guns or arrows or anything like that? Anybody in here? Okay, so I remember, I'm going to tell you my age here, but I remember about 12 or 13 years ago, I was living in a really country area in South Carolina, and one of my friend's dads was a marshal, and he had given me a revolver. And I had really never shot guns before. I don't really know why he gave me that, but I had it. So I set up some targets out in the backyard, thinking that I was going to be able to hit these because I was a 21-year-old, pretty confident guy. So my first shot completely missed the entire board. So not just missed the target, but it missed the entire board that I had set up. So I started to kind of try to dial that in. My next shot also missed the entire board. And then by the end, I was at least hitting the board and I still never hit the target, like ever. And that's just some transparency for you today that I'm probably not a really good shot. So if you need something hit, don't call me because I'm probably going to miss it. But as we dig into this, Paul kind of uses this example when he talks about what sin really is. And he talks about how sin is really us missing the mark. It's missing the target. And not only that, but it's us missing the goal. It's failing to reach the goal that God had set in place for us. And that goal is to have a relationship with Him, to be in unity with Him. And sin causes us to miss that. And we're going to see that. I've learned in my lifetime that we realize that we need something the more we don't have it. Can y'all agree with that? We realize we need something the more we don't have it. So, for instance, if you're outside and it's really hot, this is Georgia, just say it's summertime, we just got through that, and you're just sweating, and you're working hard, and you can barely breathe, and your mouth is just completely dry, you realize in that moment that you need something to drink. Because the more that you don't have something, the more you realize that you need it. And that's how it is with us and God. The more that we get away from Him, the easier it is to see why we need Him. And Paul wanted us to know that. So in chapter 2 here of Ephesians, he starts with some pretty harsh truth. But it's important for us because it shows us our need for a Savior. So we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And it says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." God, I just pray that you speak this morning. Help us to learn what it is you want us to learn so that we can be closer to you. We can become more intimate with you and our hearts can be more aligned to your heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that he talks about sins and trespasses. And I want to break down the Greek word that he uses, and we've kind of touched this already, but the word that he uses for sin here literally means missing the target. So he takes this from the context of how these people live, something that they would understand. And this was more of a shooting term. And this is the term that he uses for sin. That we were dead in our sin. Therefore, we were failing to hit the target. There's a target of life. Whether we know what that target looks like or not, whether we've ever seen that, whether we quite understand that, there is a target, and sin causes us to miss that. And then he goes on to talk about trespasses, and the word he uses here is literally that people are losing their way. That they know the truth, but somehow along the way, they get off the path. So sin, trespass, is failing to do something. And that's the central idea. The central idea of sin is failure. And I want us to understand that this morning. That the central idea of sin is failure. It's failure to hit the target. It's failure to reach the ultimate goal. It's failure to have relationships the way that God intends for us to have relationships. It's failure to live life the way that God intends for us to live life. The central idea behind sin is that we have failed somewhere. And we're continuing to do that as long as we continue to live in sin. I want to give you some truths about the sinful life that we see here in verses 1 through 3. It says that we live in a type of deviant standards, that we live according to the world, that our standards aren't based off of Christianity, or our standards aren't based off of God, our standards aren't based off of Scripture, but sin has our standards based off of the world. So we gauge what we do based off of what other people are doing. Because the world continues to evolve, and we see that. The world continues to accept more and more sin as normal and okay, so then our standards become more sinful. And that's what the sinful life does. That's just the first truth here. And then it's disobedience is number two. Sin is just being disobedient to God. Now, I get this question a lot. How do we know if we're being disobedient? Like, how do we know what God wants us to do? How do we know that we're truly not obeying Him? And that's a good question. And the answer this morning is, the more that you know Him, the more that you know what He wants you to do. The closer that you get to Him, the easier it is to know what He's calling you to do and whether you're obeying that or not. It's just like at home. The more that my kids know me, the more that I'm direct with them, and just for some of them, just to spell it out the best I can, they understand that, hey, this is what Daddy wants me to do. This is what Daddy doesn't want me to do. I don't beat them. But that's how it works with Christianity. The more we know God, the more we know what He wants from us. And sin is a life of disobedience to that. Number three is there's just a desire for wrong. There's a desire to do something different. There's a desire to live life to satisfy ourselves, to satisfy our flesh, to satisfy our minds in a way that's just completely against God. That's what sin is. And sin is the failure to hit the target. And it's because our standards are messed up. Because we're living based off of worldly standards and not godly standards. It's because we're being disobedient to what God's called us to do. And it's because our desires are our own desires. They're of the flesh. And Paul tells us all this in these first three verses. And then we see that we really deserve the wrath of God. We deserve God's wrath. And this is where we get to a place where Christianity is just something that in our worldly minds is really hard to understand. Because our standards, because our disobedience, because of our failure, we deserve God's wrath. Every single one of us. We deserve eternal punishment in hell. That's the truth about sin this morning. That because of sin, we don't deserve grace. And because God is perfect and holy, we could never earn the right. We could never earn salvation. We could never earn grace. And we don't deserve it. But Paul keeps going. So verse 4 is a transition point. Verse 4 changes the course of history. Verse 4 changes how we can live life. Verse 4 is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. And it says this, "But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were failing to hit the target, even when we were failing to reach the goal, even when we were still in sin, even when we were still dead spiritually, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And verse 10 is our theme verse for this entire series. "But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him, that we should walk in them." Listen to me this morning. The truth about grace is this: it can't be earned. That God, rich in mercy, rich in love, poured out immeasurable. You can't measure the grace of God. It's immeasurable. And this is something that blows my mind, because at my job, we have to be able to measure everything. Everything has to be an exact science. Everything has to work out on paper by numbers. And then Scripture teaches us that God's grace doesn't work out by numbers. It can't be measured. He pours out immeasurable grace on us. It's something that we can't earn. He does it because He loves us. And He loves us because of Jesus. Grace also changes our perspective. So if we're dead in sin and we're missing the mark and we're missing the target and we're not reaching the goal and our standards are all messed up and we're disobedient, grace changes our perspective. Grace says, "Hey, because you were so messed up and you were so lost, not only were you lost, not only were you beaten down, you were dead spiritually. But grace brings us back to life, therefore changes our perspective and changes the way that we live." Because if you've ever been dead, brought back to life, something's gonna change. Something's gonna be different. And grace does that. Grace causes us to see things differently. Grace causes us to live life differently. Grace changes our perspective. And number 3, grace compels us to goodness. Man, this is where Paul just hits. He hits it perfectly. And he does this in every letter that he writes. Is that he makes it clear that it can't be earned. He makes it clear that we don't deserve grace, that grace is just bestowed upon us because of God's love, because of God's mercy. But he also lets us know that it should lead to goodness. that it should lead to a changed life, that it should lead to good works. Good works doesn't earn the salvation, but good works should be a result of the salvation. And we see that in the book of James, and James talks about that, that faith without works is dead. And Paul echoes that. Verse 10 again says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That we should walk in those good works. That we should walk in the way of the Lord. That we should want to do good things. But not so people see the good things that we do, so that we can emulate and reflect Jesus. And so that people can see Jesus. And so that people that don't understand the same grace that we have, they will soon, hopefully, prayerfully understand what it means to be brought from death to life. We're called to good works. But we're his workmanship. We're his masterpiece. The Greek word here for workmanship really means like a poem. Like God is just writing a poem in our lives. Like he's crafting something. He's working. He's an artist. And we're his masterpiece. And he's continuing to do work. He's continuing to draw. He's continuing to write. He's continuing to change our lives. When we get to a place where we believe that the masterpiece is complete, we're in a place that is not walking in intimacy with God, because our masterpiece will never be complete until the day that Christ returns. We should continuously be evolving. We should continuously be taking steps of faith closer and closer to God. And this is something that's important for us as a body of believers, is that the steps of faith that we take never stop. We can get to a place sometimes in our life where we just feel really comfortable where we are. Yeah, we really think that, man, we're doing what God wants us to do. We're serving. I mean, we're going to church every week. We're praying more than we usually do. Maybe we're reading the Bible a little more than normal. And we're pretty comfortable. We're content with where we are, because maybe it's closer to God than we've ever been. And then we get to that place and we stop growing. We stop taking steps. Now, I want you to know that God is continuously working. And our responsibility is to continuously take steps. Don't get comfortable. And do you really want to make an impact for the kingdom of God? And do you really want to make an impact for God's kingdom? Then you must continue to move. You must continue to take steps. You must understand that we were once dead. And I was reading a story last night about this guy from Mississippi, and he had died. He had been put in a body bag and taken to the funeral home. And they were about to take this guy out of the body bag and embalm him. And the body bag kind of started moving. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have freaked out. This dude's supposed to be dead. And the body bag starts moving, yeah, I'm running. Like, I'm not even staying to see what happens. So these guys, they just kind of stop, and they don't unzip the body bag. Probably a good move. And they just kind of want to see what happens. You know, maybe this dude had a pacemaker, and it's just kind of kicking. And I mean, they had all kinds of thoughts running through their head. And it just continued to move for several minutes. So they call the EMT. The EMT paramedics show up and they unzip the body bag. And this dude is alive. The guy who they were about to embalm, there was about to be a funeral for this guy. That's wild. Now, it could have been the pacemaker. Like, they never really figured out what happened. But here's the deal. I want you to know that we were once dead. A lot of people think that we were just kind of messed up a little bit. That, you know, we weren't quite there. And then God swoops in and he kind of puts us back on track. That's not the truth. Paul teaches us that we were dead in our sin and our trespasses. Like, let's get that this morning. We were dead. We deserve an eternity of death, an eternity of separation from God, an eternity of pain and agony. We deserve that because of our sin, because of our failure. But God. And that's how verse 4 starts. It says, but God. And that changes everything. And Dustin was dead, but God. And you were dead, but God. Like, it's nothing about us. But we can't earn it, we can't deserve it. But we see, but God, and in the richness of his mercy, poured out his grace on us. If we can live a life that's a but God life, that's how we can make a kingdom impact. Because we realize the death that we were living in. We realize the wrath that we deserve. And then we realize but God changes everything. And we share that with the world. We share that with the world. And there was a survey done that asked people what the worst things in life are right now. And this was pretty recent. So as you can imagine, there was a ton of answers. There was a racial divide. There was gender inequality. Abortion was listed. There was just tons of things that were listed as just really bad things going on in the world right now. But let me tell you the worst thing that goes on in our world. It's that people are dead spiritually. It's that people are on their way to an eternity separated from God in hell. But God can change them just like he changed us. God can bring them back to life just like he brought us back to life. And if we're going to live in the foundation of the truths that we talked about last week, we must understand the fact that God's grace through Jesus is what it's all about. We said last week that Jesus was always the center. He's the focal point. And God poured out his grace on us through Jesus. And that's something that we get to live in and walk in. That's something that we get to share to the rest of the world. So when I was studying for this message, it was a very busy week for me this week. I was gone from home most of the entire week. I left before my kids woke up and I was back home after they went to sleep. So I didn't see them all week until Saturday morning, yesterday morning. And that's rough for me. I do like to see them sometimes. And it was just a rough week. There was just at work, there was a lot of stuff happening, just a lot of changes at work, a lot of things that were just going wrong, which is normal, but this was a little more than the norm. And I was studying for this, And I was reading, and then I got to verse 4. And it says, but God, being rich in mercy. And it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. Man, I'm having a busy week. Man, I haven't seen my kids. Things at work are going crazy. I don't know what's really going on around me. I'm still just confused about where we are in life. I'm confused about this. Man, I just got let go of my job. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Man, I'm fighting with my spouse. There's all kinds of things that could be going on, and I want you to know, but God, this morning. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. But God, rich in mercy. The scripture teaches us that his mercies are new every day. It doesn't run out. He's rich in mercy. His grace is immeasurable. I don't know what it is you're going through this morning. I do know one thing. I know that without Christ, we're dead in sin. I know without Jesus that we're dead in our trespasses, that we continue to miss the mark, that we just fail to hit the target of life, we fail to hit it. I know that we fail to reach the goal that we ought to reach, that somewhere along the way we've wandered from the truth. And we're living by the standards of the world, not the standards of Scripture, not godly standards. And I make this mistake sometimes as a husband, which is not a good idea to do this, but if I get in trouble, which is not much, if I get in trouble and Ashley's getting on to me, then I always compare myself to another husband. Somebody else's husband. It's like, well, you know, I'm doing more than he is. Or I'm a little better than him. And let me tell you something, we do that, right? We start comparing ourselves to other people. We have worldly standards. And God says, I don't care if you're better than him or you're better than her. Nobody has met the standard. We all need Jesus. And we realize that when we realize that our sin causes that. We're sinners in need of a Savior. Because we were dead. And then verse 4, and I'm going to read 4 through 10 one more time as we close this morning. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him, that we should walk in them. The truth this morning is that we're saved by grace. Is that God has a plan for us. And we talked about his ultimate purpose last week is to bring all things in unity to himself. His purpose for us is to have a relationship with him. Do you have a relationship with him this morning? Or are you still living life in that dead state? spiritually. If you are, I want you to know something this morning. But God, in His rich mercy, poured out His love on us. Poured out His grace on us through Jesus. That's the gospel. I know gospel can seem like a fancy word, and people kind of throw that around a lot. Gospel this, gospel that. The gospel is this, that we were dead in sin and trespasses, and because God loved us, He sent Jesus to die on a cross for us. He sent Jesus to shed His blood for us. He sent Jesus to conquer death for us. And if we just accept that and begin a relationship with Him, then we are placed in heavenly places with Him. We are co-heirs with Christ. And His grace never ends because it's for eternity. It's immeasurable. That's the gospel. Is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that we are dead in sin and trespasses, and we get to take a step of faith. And this step of faith is called, but God. And we step over. And then we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and we're sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit for an eternity. And it never ends. Never, ever, ever, ever. It goes on forever. We get to worship the King of Kings for eternity. But we don't have to wait. We get to start that right now. So some of you, maybe you've accepted that and you're not taking those steps. You've somehow forgotten the fact that God took a dead person and brought him back to life. Maybe you just don't feel like that God's pouring His grace and His love out on you. And I want you to know that He is. Man, God doesn't work off of our feelings and our emotions. He works off of His sovereignty. And this morning, there's some steps of faith that we need to take together. And one of those steps is just understanding that we need Jesus, that we need a Savior. Another step could be just to say, hey, I just haven't been living in this. I haven't been living in the grace, the mercy, the love. I don't think about that. I'm not living the life that He's called me to live. I've gotten to a point where I'm pretty comfortable, and I just want to stay there because it's pretty nice to just kind of camp out in my comfort. I don't want to be stretched. I don't want God to do something with me because I don't know if I can do it. And I don't know what He's going to ask me to do. And I don't really want to be some kind of puppet for God. And I want you to know that you're not being a puppet, you're being obedient. And don't let fear stop you from doing what God's called you to do. There's some people that need to take a step and say, hey, I've been comfortable for too long, and I'm ready to do whatever it is God wants me to do. And maybe for some of you, you just need prayer this morning. And as you stand with me, every head bowed, every eyes closed this morning.
Thank you for joining us at the Impact Church Podcast. For this and other messages, visit us online at impactharlem.org. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it on iTunes, and share it with your friends on social media. Once again, thanks for joining us at the Impact Church Podcast.